Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
What up, what up, what up? This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, 10-year NFL defensive lineman, Lijay Doosable. And I'm with my teammate, 15 years covering the Miami Dolphins as a beat writer, NFL columnist, my guy, Omar Kelly. Oh, what's good?
Chilling. I'm going to have to make you do it over because I didn't feel your energy. Usually when I'm with you, the energy from the start just from sets the tone.
Let me do that intro one more time. What up, what up, what up, good people? This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, 10-year NFL defensive lineman, Lijay Doosable, and I'm with my teammate, world-renowned NFL columnist, 15 years covering the Miami Dolphins as a beat writer, Omar Kelly.
That is the energy level and determination that I expect from you. I love it.
Hold me accountable, O. Hold me accountable.
Listen, you sounded like a man who's ready to go on vacation on that one. Like he's just trying to make it through the week.
Never, man. Every time we come in here, what we call the locker room, I don't have that energy. So I thank you for holding me accountable. We got a great show. Oh, let's get into it. Steph Curry wasn't his normal self last night in game 5 of the finals. But not to worry, Andrew Wiggins and the rest of the Warrior role players decided we're going to have your back, big dog, because you carried us in game 4. Are the Boston Celtics in trouble? We discussed that later. And will Baker Mayfield, who Omar Kelly called an Airbnb quarterback, be a Carolina Panther? Well, it just depends on how much of that $18 million salary the Panthers are willing to pay. And Bruce Arians said if Tom Brady hadn't come back, he would still be the coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks. We get into that. But first, Deshaun Watson. He spoke to the media for the first time today since March 25th for about 10 minutes of hope of clearing the air and clearing his name. And this is what he said.
Honestly, it's been tough. Just trying to make sure that I stay balanced with my mental and just my social life. But I have a great family. I have a great legal team, and I have a great support cast here in this organization. So when I walk into the building, all that stuff is outside. I got to focus on football and my teammates, building that trust with those guys on the football field and off the field, and just really just coming to work because the game plan is, you know, the season starts and getting everyone on the same page.
When you've met with the NFL, how has that gone, and are you concerned with waiting for this decision from the league?
I can't control that. You know, I met with the NFL a couple weeks ago, and I did everything they asked me to do. I answered every question truthfully that the NFL asked me. I spent hours with the people that they brought down, and that's all I can do is just tell them and be honest and tell them exactly what happened. And I know they have a job, so I have to respect that, and that's what we want to do is cooperate. And you know, they have to make a decision best for the league. You know, so. I never forced anyone. I never assaulted anyone. So that's what, you know, I've been saying it from the beginning, and I'm going to continue to do that. And until all the facts come out on the legal side, I have to continue to just, you know, go with the process with my legal team and the court of law. These allegations is very serious. And, you know, you have to respect that and everything that goes with it. And it impacts so many people, not just me and my family and this organization, but people that are outside in the community, this fan base, people from the Houston fan base, anyone that was, you know, a fan of mine. But as far as that, I haven't gotten into any of that. My biggest thing is just wanting to clear my name so I can get back, you know, being in the environment that, you know, I'm most comfortable in, and that's being in the community and helping people and being that role model and leader. And also being on the football field with my teammates and try to win ball games. So that's something that I haven't really been focused on, just really clearing my name and just focusing on doing what's right and being honest and whatever, whoever I have to answer to, I have to give them the true facts.
Now, two more accusers have filed, you know, suits against Deshaun Watson. I want to throw this question to Omar Kelly. Now, we just heard a couple clips of that 10-minute, quote-unquote, interview or press conference Deshaun Watson had.
First off, what did I say? My over-under number is 28.5.
I thought you said it was 30.
Did I say it was 30? I thought you told me that I need to put a 0.5 on it because to make it
For betting odds.
I think these accusers are going to continue to come forward. Even Busby, the lawyer representing these women, you know, they have basically said that it's going to be, you know, the lawyer representing one of them, he was upset that he wasn't more contrite and more remorseful. And I think that Busby is going to continue to have these women, more women, come forward as the regular season approaches to apply more pressure, to apply to get a settlement. Yeah. And from the position that I'm sitting right now, if I'm Deshaun Watson, from the view of public perception, I'm guilty as hell. I don't think you can go to a Publix or your nearest grocery store and say, what are your thoughts about Deshaun Watson? Mm-hmm. Just the casual observers, casual sports fans, their viewpoint is going to be he's guilty as hell because of what the public knows, because of the information, the 66 masseuses that you sought out in Houston, the 20 now six women who are coming forward, the details of the incident, of these incidents. So if you're guilty, why would you, if the public perception is you're guilty and settling it doesn't change that, why not just go through with the lawsuit?
Yeah, I mean, and that's a perfect segue into what Deshaun Watson discussed next, right? One of the reporters asked him if he had offered any money to the accusers, and also he had a response to the 66 appointments in an 18-month span, and this is what he said.
You told us that you would not settle out of court. Yet after that, a report came out that your team offered $100,000 to each of these accusers. So which is the truth? Was that money offered or not?
I feel like, you know, there's a lot of articles that's out there and facts and things like that. You know, there was a process that was going on back in November with another organization. So I can't really get too far in details with that. But, you know, with the process that was going on before I became a Cleveland Brown, that's a whole nother discussion.
Articles, the New York Times reported that you booked massages with 66 different women over a 17-month period. Does that number, 66, seem right to you?
I mean, I can answer. I don't think so, for what me and my attorneys went through. But at the same time, you know, that's more of a legal question that I can't really get into details about. So you'll probably have to ask my attorneys and things like that to confirm.
Now, Omar Kelly, we all were just listening to that clip, and I saw your face kind of perk up when he was answering the question about the 66 appointments. Seemed like Deshaun kind of like almost missed, I don't want to say misguided his words, but kind of like didn't know what his response was going
to
be.
No, I think as a journalist who listens to words and slices and dices them and interprets them, I think that that was something that he wanted to answer and say, no, I don't think that that's factually accurate.
But they understand that's a lawyer legal question.
Yeah, that's legal. A lawyer question, exactly. But I want you to know that that's not factually accurate. But then sitting talking to you, gentlemen, my thought process is I might personally know about five masseuses in Miami. Mm-hmm. I might have personally used probably 5-6. Mm-hmm. Now, over the course of time, that's over the course of many years.
66 is too much.
Yeah.
Huh?
66 is too much.
Okay.
Is that where you're getting to?
But you're probably at 20.
I'm not. It's funny because, you know, listening to him and in the reporter asked that question.
By the way, this is our teammate Brandon Marshall. That stepped in.
Yeah. So, like, you know, listening to the question, I was like, man, I need to sit back and actually count, right? Mm-hmm. I would love to find out exactly where I'm at. You know, I played on 6 different teams and I played 13 years, right? And there were some teams where, you know, I may have had 2 to 3 to 4 different massage therapists in a year. You know, and then also when you're on the road and you're traveling as well, right? Yeah. So I would call, you know, some of my guys that played on different teams, go to Cleveland. Hey, who's the massage therapist here? I hit Larry Fitzgerald up. I'm going to Minnesota. Correct. Like, for example, I called Larry Fitzgerald back in the day. I was going to Minnesota. He played in Arizona, but he was from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, I'm going to Minnesota. Can you refer me to someone? Right. So like, it's a lot, but in his young career, 66 is a lot, man. Mm-hmm. There's obviously a problem. Let's keep it real here. Okay. And I do want to say this, when you sexual assault and, you know, women and abuse and all of that stuff is serious. And so I want to be mindful there. But let's also have a real conversation, right? There's a real community and a culture around this whole happy ending thing.
That's fair.
And there's a lot of guys and women out there that participate in this space. You heard his attorney actually slipped up and said that. Mm. Right. He actually said like something about, it's just a happy. He had to retract like that. Right. Yeah. So like if you're dealing with 66 massage therapists, you know, and again, I don't know all the details and there's two sides to it, but there seems to be something around this. Right. Yeah. If this is the truth, there's something around this.
Look at the Patriots owner.
Right. Exactly. Because it's a real thing.
Yeah. 100%.
There's a real thing. Dudes, if we being honest. Right. Mm. There was a time where we all went to Hawaii. Okay, and then there was a lot in college, and there was a lot of guys on our team talking about let's go to these spots right over here, mm-hmm. right? And so I ain't gonna throw nobody under the bus, but like that's a real thing.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that to say that you know, we gotta highlight that, and then Omar, I want to push the conversation forward because as an athlete who also been through a lot of challenges, this process that he's going through right now is extremely painful.
Oh, it's difficult.
This is one of the most difficult times. And obviously the victims, it's a difficult time for them too.
100%.
But basically what I'm saying is that as an athlete, this is a difficult time. And what I found in my career, right? Like, yes, public perception, which you're talking about also, but the fans and the public will forgive you if you actually stand up and lean into it and be honest. Mm. Right. And that was one of the things that got me through some of my hardest time. I stood up and said, oh, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what's going on. And now I'm in this position where people are actually looking at me as a leader, as a thought leader in some of these conversations, mm-hmm. because I leaned into it and I was honest. But you got to do the work and you can't run right now. He did a phenomenal job as far as answering these questions. He had poise. You know, he knew he was prepared.
Yes.
He was prepared.
He was polished.
Right. But at the end of the day, man, when you're in this situation, talking about 66 accusers, you sometimes you have to drop, you know, like
26 accusers.
You got to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You got to be.
Yeah, but I think, but while you've got a civil litigation coming as well, you can't talk about the legal ramifications.
Yeah,
you can't acknowledge guilt or remorse or
anything pertaining
to it is going to be in evidence that's introduced into the trial.
So give athletes advice. Like, what advice would you have for athletes, you know, going through situations like this? You've been on the other side asking those questions. How should an athlete handle this?
Mm. You're right. Be honest, be open. But then here's the thing. Anything that comes up that they want details is for the sake of the legal process.
Yeah, I have to let that play out.
I have to let that play out in the legals because I wish I could say more to you and be more. But the things that you can answer, which is you can come out and say, if you and your attorney have added it up and you said 66, that's too high a number. Mm-hmm. And you can factually prove 66 is too high a number. You need to come out strong and stern. That's incorrect. Mm. If he would have said, came out and said, that's incorrect, and let it stand on that.
He kind of wanted to say it.
He did.
Yeah, but he
seemed
like
he did.
He thought about it like this. No. Played out in court.
He tap danced, and I think he can't come out too strong. He can't come out too strong and too animated. Like, this is incorrect, and I feel like I'm being, you know, because I feel like I'm being tried by the media.
Mm.
And if he would have said that,
that wouldn't have went well for him.
See,
it wouldn't have went well for him at all.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, I think people are already thinking he's not remorseful.
But it's actually factually accurate.
Yeah.
It's factually accurate, but I'm sorry. This is not a legal matter. This is not a police matter now. This is a civil matter.
Yeah,
right.
So that means it's about money. Am I not correct? And correct. He needs to protect himself. Yeah. But if something is factually inaccurate, you can come out and you can say it's not 66. That number seems high based on my recollection and my attorney's
record. And let me highlight this too, dudes. You know, also, Omar's talking about the civil ramifications. This is civil suits coming down to money. Let's talk about the other side of the money, and that's the brand.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. And so a lot of athletes.
The brand just got a $280 million guaranteed money.
Yeah, but that's football money.
Okay.
But, you know, Nike.
He lost every sponsorship.
He was getting big bags outside of football. And here's the reality. And I said all that to say this. His brand will never bounce back.
Never.
Like when you go through this and hell, I went through, you know, my drama in the NFL. When you go through this, your brand will, it's always going to be with him. That's always going to be a question that always come up. Even post-career, when he's doing business, it's going to live with him forever.
Yeah.
That's the reality. That's why as athletes and just people, period, right? Like we're just, you know, we're highlighted. We're on this platform. We're going to be on ESPN. Our good, bad, and ugly is going to play out in front of the entire world. But that's why it's important that we're really careful with the decisions that we make every single day, because, you know, there's consequences to it.
This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lijay Duzabu, with my teammates, Omar Kelly and Brandon Marshall. We're discussing Deshaun Watson speaking to the media for the first time since his press conference March 25th. And then this next clip, you know, a question was asked to Deshaun Watson. What conversations have you had to your teammates pertaining to all these allegations? And this is what he said.
Deshaun, what do you say to your teammates? You just talked to the impact that all these allegations have had on the player public. But inside that locker room, how do you get these guys to trust you and believe in?
There's some dudes
when all these things are out in the media.
I just be myself. I come in here with my head held high. I come in here. If any one of those guys need to ask questions or they have any concerns, they know they can come to my locker and ask me. But for ever since I walked in here from day one, these guys have rallied around me and supported me. And if anything popped up, they questions have been asked, and I answer them truthfully. And outside of that, we come in here, we work, we try to be the best Cleveland Brown that we can be, best teammate we can be. And we've had a lot of fun getting to know each other, and especially on the trip to the Bahamas, that was awesome. So these guys have also, you know, came behind me and supported me.
Yeah, and I thought it was important for us to play that clip because, Brandon, we call this the locker room, right? So I wanted to throw this question to you. Like, if you're a teammate on that team, and we know, and me and you have stated this many times, like the locker room is the most diverse workplace, I would say, in the world. You got guys that have different religious background, economical background, ethnic backgrounds. You're not going to be friends with everybody on the team.
It's a different neighborhood in the entire locker room.
Exactly. So, like, people
don't get that, right?
Yeah, that's why we try to emphasize that so much on this show. Like, this is like the most diverse place you can come to work at.
It's supposed to be what America looks like.
100%. It is absolutely. As somebody who's an insider who is allowed to come in once a day for 45 minutes, it is truly the most diverse place in the world.
You're an insider from a journalistic standpoint, but you're an outsider.
I don't get to stay. We get kicked out.
What was your question real
quick? No, I was just saying, like, there's times in a locker room, right, you're not going to agree with everybody's views on life. You know, maybe their religious views or their views on life, period, or where they come from. And, you know, you grew up differently. As a teammate, right? You see Deshaun Watson going through all these allegations. Like what are your questions to him? And then also, like how do you proceed going forward, knowing that this guy is supposed to be our leader of the team?
Right. My experience in the locker room, it first starts with curiosity, right? Mm-hmm. Because the other side to this, you know, and it's important that we have this conversation, is, you know, guys don't quickly come in and judge, because guys been in positions before where they, you know, you know, athletes are targets.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. So guys, before they come in and judge, they want to, the right guys, they want to gather the information because they also know that the other side to this and what it can be and what it looks like. A lot of guys experience this on some type of level. Right. Now, in this situation, in the locker room, guys like, man, it's just they have the cooler. Hell, dude coming in, they in the shower talking about 66. Like all the new information coming out, 66, and then Deshaun walking in the shower, everybody get quiet, like, right? But because it's now they're because they're still like, what is it black and white? What's happening
exactly
now? If it came, if he came out and said, this is what happened, if someone, if it was, you know, the evidence comes out, like, this is what happened, there's going to be guys in the locker room say, I don't want to play with that guy, I don't respect that guy because of, like you said, guys have different points of views on certain things and different experiences.
Hold on, you don't think the trip to the Bahamas smooths it all over?
Well, right now they're in that curious phase. Right now they're in that curious phase, right? Like they're trying to figure out who he
is.
Yeah, but come on now, like, just because you got to think about, there's some guys in that locker room. Let's be honest. Some of their sisters may have been assaulted. Their mom, like, what so if you he's on DeAndre Hopkins' touches somebody. Team?
Yeah,
right. Like, if he, you think, well, he was on. They played together.
Yeah,
right. So like, and but the locker room is also, it's a forgiving place as well.
100%.
Right. That's also what happens in the locker room as well.
Well, I also think the locker room is so different because, again, because you don't have the same views as everybody, whether it's religious or where you grew up or just point of views on life, period. Right. It's the one place where guys can come together that don't agree with, you know, each other all the time for a common goal. And that's to win games. Right. There's times where I'm sure, Brandon, like, there are certain coaches you didn't really get along with. I mean, perfect example is right now with the Washington Commanders. I guarantee there's probably some defensive players on that team like, man, I don't really want this dude to be my coach. But at the end of the day, we got to go out there and perform, right? Because the GM don't care if I don't like Jack Del Rio. You know, the GM in Cleveland don't care if I don't like Deshaun Watson. He's there, $230 million. He's going to be there, right? So I got to still go out there and perform at a high level. And we'll go into this last clip of Deshaun Watson talking about, is he open to settling these matters out of court? And this is what he said.
Are you open to settling now? And what would it take to settle these?
Like I said, I just want to clear my name and be able to let the facts and the legal procedures continue to play out. So right now, that's all I'm doing is want to clear my name and be able to let all the facts come out in the court of law and be able to focus on that.
You could tell that those were his talking points. Clear my name. Let all the facts.
I was just about to ask you. So what do you think Deshaun wanted to get out of this press conference?
I want
to
clear my name. Let all the facts come out. Wait for the facts.
Mm-hmm.
66 masseuses. That's not
appointments.
Accurate.
Yeah.
Appointments. That's not accurate.
Do you, how do you think this ultimately gets handled? Right. Because I think, honestly, we've been talking about this for months now. Like, I feel like the NFL is up against the clock on a decision on, you know, what they're going to do.
I don't think the civil lawsuit can or should impact what the NFL does.
I mean, but there's been times where guys in the court of law, you know, criminally haven't been charged with anything.
Yeah.
And they've still gotten suspended.
I think he should be suspended for half the season out the gate. Yeah. He's already sat out an entire season.
Year. Yeah.
And I felt like he should have been on the commissioner's exempt list. Maybe this is the year that they put him on the commissioner's exempt list. And maybe he does sit out an entire season.
But let's be honest. Why didn't he play last year?
They were trying to trade him.
Because he didn't want to play for Houston and they were trying to trade him and they couldn't get a deal done with Miami.
Anything to do with this case. Come on.
I would have loved for them to have traded him and then Miami be in position to play him and then see what the NFL does. They probably needed to put him on the suspended list.
But you know what's happening behind the scenes, man. The NFL's that's why nobody traded for him, because they knew whatever you trade for him, he's suspended immediately.
Yeah, we'll see what ultimately happens to Deshaun Watson.
Hear in-depth analysis of the NBA Finals with Danny Green on Inside the Green Room, a SiriusXM podcast.
Andrew Wiggins has changed the narrative about who he was. He's the second best player on the Warriors, and he might mess around and win Finals MVP.
If he has another great appearance, another great outing like that, I think I might pick him as MVP if Steph is off again. But it's not because of the offense, but his defense, more importantly than anything.
Inside the Green Room. Download it now on the SXM app or wherever you get your podcast.
I am your host, Lijay Duzable, with my teammates, Brandon Marshall and Auntie Chantel. And before the break, we were discussing Lamar Jackson showing up to minicamp and talking about his contract with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, Lamar Jackson spoke after minicamp for the first time in 5 months, and he talks about things like why he skipped OTAs and also his contract status. And this is what he said.
I just wanted to stay away and just grind. You know, just want to come back and just see how I felt. I feel good. You know, I asked my guys how they feel if I stay home. They was like, you know, it's cool. You know, I want to get some chemistry. They'll tell me I want to get some chemistry. I'm like, man, we're going to get that regardless when we get back. And, like, when I first started off-season, back in February, James Prochet and Bate was out in California with me. And we were just hitting off back, like just throwing passes, completing passes. We were looking pretty good. So I was like, chemistry going to be there when I get there for camp. So I was just good, just trying to grind.
If you haven't already, do you plan to have a conversation about the contract before the season begins?
Oh, we actually did. We did. You know, it's a conversation. That's all. We're just keeping it private.
The national guys talk. A lot of them say they wouldn't step on the field with your brand of football without a deal. Do you buy into that?
Nah, I don't buy into it at all. You know, I play football. That's what I'm here for.
How much has the Deshaun Watson contract affected your thoughts about your future and what would be an acceptable contract for you?
Nothing at all. You know, I'm a man of my own. You know, I don't worry about what those guys get.
If you don't have an extension, like the way you're thinking right now, I mean, will you be a training camp? Will you be playing week one under your current deal with no contract?
We're having a conversation about it. I don't know.
Well, Brandon Marshall and Auntie Chantel, a lot of telling things in that press conference with Lamar Jackson. First and foremost, we had a segment yesterday called Keep It G With Me, right? I'm about to keep it G. Lamar Jackson, stop lying and saying Deshaun Watson's deal had no bearing on what you think your numbers should be.
Like, right.
Come on, Brandon. We all know. We look at what guys are making. Right. So we know when we're up, oh, this is where it starts. This is the floor right here for where my next deal is going to be. So for you to be like, well, he's another man that has no bearing on what I'm doing. Stop it. Just stop it. Like,
well, hold on. So, okay, great. I love it. So it's keep it G?
Keep it G. Keep it G with me.
Well, okay. Lamar, you heard dudes. Now listen to me. If you want to keep your G's, keep saying what you're saying.
Hey, I love it.
Right? Like, come on now. Like, when you're doing business, you got to keep things private until they don't need to be private.
Well, you heard what he said then, right?
I know. You're right. But he did a phenomenal job up until the very last soundbite, right?
Oh, no.
Because you know this, man, the reporters, the Omar Kellys of the world, when they're sitting down with us athletes, they already know the answers. They already know. They're just trying to get the soundbite out of them. Because once you get the soundbite out of the athlete, now you have a show. 100%. Now you have something to write about. And so Lamar did a great job. He answered the way he should have answered it. You know, but he know he's supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. He knows chemistry is built through the entire offseason, not just in February. He knows that. But the business is in a way. And unfortunately, this is the business. Mm-hmm. And he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, they try to make athletes feel guilty when you're like, oh, you're supposed to be here with the team. Well, when we talk in business, it ain't about the team. Mm-hmm. It's about me. And so that's where you get institutionalized as an athlete and where you start becoming a bad businessman or a bad businesswoman is by this team.
Yeah.
This is a $16 billion industry, dude.
B with a billion.
Okay. They got athletes now making $500 million.
Mm. So you that's keep a lot of money. Team?
Right? So, like, it sucks because, you know, this is what it's all about, being together and doing it with your team. But when the business come, it's a tough thing to navigate. And it's going to be interesting to see how this thing play out. But like Auntie and I was talking about, you know, this offline and what I said to Auntie about another quarterback, you know, I'm like, look, you know, they're doing the right thing. Basically, I lost my train of thought.
Auntie, how do you feel about Lamar Jackson's press conference today?
Look, I'm with nephew. You know, he gonna keep saying the right things, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about what nobody else is doing. I'm more, you know, that's what he's supposed to say, right? But Lamar gonna show up. He gonna do what he is. He gonna do what he does. Baltimore gonna be trash anyway. Like they,
a Pittsburgh fan. She biased.
Yeah, they, you know, but I mean, think about it. What have they done? I mean, the AFC North. Right now, no team can afford to have any kind of controversy or any quarterback That's missing time point. Or whatever. Like, you got to come in there ready to play in that AFC North this year. And so, you know, I just think they get the deal done with the man and move on with it.
Brent, I want to ask you a question because, again, you're a resident teammate that's had holdouts and hold-ins. If you're Lamar Jackson and, you know, you guys are discussing this contract in private with the Baltimore Ravens and they don't come to a number that you like, you heard the end of his press conference. Do you honestly see him potentially maybe not showing up to training camp?
Where he from?
He from down here from the crib.
You know what part?
Pompano.
He from Pompano. You know who else is from Pompano? Kodak Black. Hey, what them boy, they built different. And I say that because you got to understand the mindset. You know, people from certain places of the world, they stand on principle. And the principle right now, he has all the risk.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they need to get a deal done. Do I see him sitting out all year? No. I don't see the Baltimore Ravens not standing up and getting it done. This is what I said. This. To Auntie offline, I lost my train of thought. It's like, what's the alternative in AZ? Because y'all was talking about, you know, Kyler Murray yesterday. Why wouldn't you pay him? What's the alternative?
Right.
Colt McCoy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But you got to understand that, man. So they get the deal done. I just can't see it not happening.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. I think that's why everybody's kind of like shaking their heads. So are the Ravens not trying to offer him at least the $230 million that Deshaun Watson was offered?
That changed the game.
Yeah, to me, like, I think that's the starting point now if you're Lamar Jackson. Like, look here, you know what I'm saying? I literally was the focal point of this offense, not just the pass game, Brandon, the run game as well. I lost my top three running backs last year, right? Mm-hmm. I lost my left tackle, who was a Pro Bowler. I lost my number one blocking tight end. Yes, I had Andrews still there, who was, to me, the best tight end in football last year. But I literally put the team on my back so many times that I ended up getting hurt for you guys last year. Mm-hmm. Like, 230 is the floor. That's where we're starting. And that's not the ceiling. That's where we're starting. And I think the Ravens have to get this deal done because, like you just said, Brandon, what's the alternative?
Hold on. And here's the thing. This is what we have to understand. We may see the best Lamar Jackson
this year.
Didn't he already win an MVP?
His second year. Yeah.
He won the MVP, right? This is Lamar Jackson. And the crazy part is, I don't think we've seen the best of Lamar Jackson. Have we probably seen the best of Lamar Jackson from a, you know, run around standpoint?
Dynamic part, yeah.
Yes. But we're talking about a guy that can put it all together this year. Mm. Now the game is really slow. What year is this for him, dudes?
He's going into year four.
No, year five. I think it's year
five. Oh, this is five. This is year. I'm sorry. This is
right. Think about that.
This is his fifth year.
The continuity in the offense,
yeah.
Right? With his offensive coordinator. You know, he's grown. He's a man now, yeah. Right? The first couple years, a boy.
He puts in like
he understands how to navigate off the field. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson may have his best year ever this year. Man, you better go pay that man. And Lamar knows that. That's why he's like, I don't need to be there. I know this offense.
Facts.
Hell, he the one out there. Remember last year playing against your team, Auntie, my team too, because I'm from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. All right. But playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers, he was so hot. You never really see Lamar lose his poise that much. He was so hot. Why was he so hot? Because he's out there. He's like, they're calling the plays.
Yeah.
He's like, before we get to the line, he's saying, this is what's happening. He's telling Greg Roman, we need to do this. We need to do that. And that's when you know when a quarterback take ownership of the offense, that's when you have a dynamic offense.
100%. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lijay Duzable, with my teammates, Brandon Marshall and Auntie Chantel. We're discussing Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, and will they get this deal done before training camp starts? Again, if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm not showing up to training camp until I get that deal done. Well, we go from the Baltimore Ravens to another team in the AFC North, the Cleveland Browns. And Jadeveon Clowney admits he ended up back in Cleveland because of Deshaun Watson. Now, Brandon, we talk about the locker room and how diverse it is, and it's always being a melting pot, and how teammates, you know, for the majority of time, have each other's back. So, you know, Jadeveon Clowney spoke with the media, and he said, where Deshaun Watson goes, that's where I was going. This is exactly what he said. He said, I was all about where my boy Deshaun was going. I just wanted to go play with him and see what I could do with him again. I told him if he goes to Cleveland, then I will follow him over there. That's what it came down to. B. Marsh, what do you think about this, Jadeveon Clowney coming out and having Deshaun Watson's back and wanting to play for his ex-teammate and now current teammate?
I mean, this is simple for me. Obviously, we understand the situation surrounding Deshaun, right? And you know, the case is the allegations, all of that. And so we get that. But this also continues the conversation that we had, I think it was Monday, where we talked about, you know, just the locker room.
How diverse it is.
Yeah. How diverse it is, how forgiving it could be, et cetera, et cetera. In the locker room, your teammates become family. Mm. Some of our strongest relationships that we have today is with people that we play Pop Warner, Little League with. Yep. You know,
high and school,
then
college,
and then when you get to that level, man, these are the people that are in your weddings. These are the people that you cry with, you laugh with, not just on the field, on the court, but off of it, right? So I say that to say this, like, what would you do if your family member is going through something? Would you support your family member or not? Right? Like, this is family. So I'm not surprised.
About the brotherhood,
right? So I'm not surprised that he's supporting his guy, or, and maybe it's not even support. He's just being honest with how he feels and how he's going through his process. He's like, I want to go play football with my brother. Mm. That's basically what he's saying. So I'm not surprised by that one bit. And, you know, just like I said, continues the conversation, painting that picture actually of how diverse our locker room is, how forgiving it is. And it shows the bonds that you built there. So, you know, obviously still so much going on with Deshaun. We'll see how that stuff plays out.
Mm. Well, Brandon, and also,
go ahead, Auntie.
Clowney, you know, he's from Rock Hill, right? He's from South Carolina. And mm-hmm. earlier they were talking about, you know, he'd love to have the opportunity to play closer to home. But the only two options closer to his home are the Falcons and the Panthers.
Yeah.
And both of them going to be trash. So, is it the trash Falcons or the trash Panthers?
Who's going to be good? You keep calling everybody trash. Who's going to be good this year?
You know, Tampa Bay is going to be good. I think the Denver Broncos are going to be good.
Ooh, that's the Super Bowl. That's it right there.
I think the Rams are going to be back. You know, the Chargers could come out the AFC.
What about your Steelers?
The Chargers could come out the AFC.
he said, what about the Steelers? The Chargers.
I'll say this. The Steelers, especially if we end up getting in Ndamukong Suh to come in and help out a little bit. The Steelers gonna have the best defense in the league.
I mean, what y'all gonna do at quarterback though? You got the young pup and Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky.
Said we're gonna have the best defense in the league. The problem they probably gonna have to play more than anybody else because our offense gonna be trash. But who knows? Mitch may surprise some people, but he ain't one. I ain't hanging on our seventh Super Bowl this year.
Brandon, I want to get back to you and something that you said that was so telling, talking about the locker room and relationships. And, you know, sometimes some of your best friends and best relationships you have come because of guys you've played with and the bonds you've built in the locker room and on the field. Do you think for Jadeveon Clowney, this was more of an X's and O decision, or was this mainly because of the relationship and friendship he has with Deshaun Watson?
I think it's both. You know that. Like, I mean, you want to play with your boy. You want to play with your girl, 100%. And then also from a X's and O's standpoint, dudes, you know this as a defensive lineman. You know when you got those dogs on the other side.
Or helps.
Because you're like, now I can potentially go get 5, 6, 7, exactly. 8, 10 sacks.
Especially
right?
playing with the league.
That's exactly. Yeah. And Elvis Dumervil, the defensive end, legendary defensive end, was the one to highlight that for me. When he was going through his process, it's like, man, I'm trying to go find a Peyton Manning type offense because now my ears is peeled back because they got to throw the ball.
Yep.
So I think it's both dudes.
Yeah, 100%. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. I believe Clowney only signed a 1-year deal, and we don't know how many games potentially Deshaun Watson could be suspended for.
Busted Open is your daily home for all things pro wrestling. Join Dave LaGreca, WWE Hall of Famers Bully Ray and Mark Henry, and hardcore wrestling legend Tommy Dreamer.
Dave LaGreca here. From WWE to AEW, Impact, New Japan, Ring of Honor, and more, we talk it all. Whether you grew up watching Ric Flair or Stone Cold Steve Austin, Busted Open is your place for pro wrestling.
Busted Open, Mondays through Saturdays at 9 a.m. East on Fight Nation, Sirius XM Channel 156.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta,
because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members, because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2-gram net zero hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active cash.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Welcome back to I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host Lijay Duzable with my teammates Brandon Flowers and Omar Kelly, and before the break we were talking about Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray. Should the Arizona Cardinals make him the highest paid player in Cardinals history? Well, that's what Cliff Kingsbury said. He spoke with the media yesterday after minicamp, and he was talking about making Kyler Murray the highest paid player in Cardinals history. He's hoping that they get this deal done before training camp starts. Now, Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray is set to make $5.5 million this year and $29.7 million next year on the fifth year option. And there's no secret that Kyler Murray has not been happy about his deal in with the Arizona Cardinals.
How do you know? Because he unfollowed everybody.
Exactly. This is what this young group of kids do these days, right? And I wouldn't call them kids, they're men. This is what this young group, this generation does, right? When they're unhappy about something, they take to social media. So what Kyler Murray did this offseason was he unfollowed the Arizona Cardinals on social media.
It's like when you're breaking up with your girl.
Yeah.
You take all her pictures
but then,
down.
But then he took her back, right?
Yeah.
He followed them back, right? And then Murray's agent released a memo detailing reasons why Murray should be extended, which wasn't publicly received well by the team. Now, Cliff Kingsbury spoke about making Kyler Murray the highest paid player in Cardinals history at this press conference after, you know, yesterday's practice. This is what he said.
There's no doubt. I mean, he's the leader of this franchise. You know, we're about to make him, I'm sure, the highest paid player in this franchise history. And so he understands what comes with that. And the guys know what he can be at his best. And anytime we can get the whole band out there, things pick up.
And to be devil's advocate, we know what he can be at his worst, too. Down the stretch, the last two seasons, the Arizona Cardinals have really struggled. So B-Flow, Brandon Flowers, should the Arizona Cardinals break the bank for Kyler Murray?
They should definitely break the bank for Kyler Murray. I know he struggled, like you said, the past two seasons coming down the stretch, but he's a special talent. You know, he can make all the throws. He can escape the pocket. And he has an it factor to him, right? Mm. And if you pay him now, you know, you don't know. With Kyler Murray, he's so spontaneous. He can have a run for an MVP season halfway through, right?
He did that last year.
That's what I'm saying. And if he just finishes off, though, he's going to want to be, but he can get, he has the, he has the capability of getting it done.
You putting right? that it on him? Does he have it?
He has the it.
He has the it. Has
so, okay. And bringing in Hollywood Brown, his college receiver, to add to, you know.
That continuity should be good.
Yeah, to Nuke that didn't play last year.
But he's going to miss the first six games as well. But
he's going to get him back. And when the latter part of the season comes, Hollywood Brown will be in sync. DeAndre will be in sync with these guys on the outside. So you do not want this guy to be in the MVP discussion, and then you try to pay him. So just pay him now. The quarterback market is always different, right?
Yeah, it is.
If you got a franchise quarterback, you don't care about if he's struggling a little bit or not. You just have to pay him. Quarterback market
better to pay now than later.
Yeah, and the quarterback market is different than any other position. If you got a guy you feel like you can win with, you got to pay him right now.
$45 million. Are you okay with paying Kyler Murray $45 million a year? $230 million over 5 years.
That's what the market is.
The market for NFL. I always felt like saying, NFL court. Listen,
is he worth it though? Or would you rather, especially from the size and his style, would you rather ride that 50 option out, franchise tag him, and then see what's up?
Quarterbacks. I would say before, quarterbacks don't grow on trees, but quarterbacks are starting to come out of college successful. And the thing is, You don't want a Jimmy G out there in Arizona. You got a young.
Wow, what is the disrespect for Jimmy G? Jimmy G has taken a team to the play to the Super Bowl and to the doorstep of the Super Bowl twice. Kyler Murray has not.
Okay, I don't dislike Jimmy G, but that defense took them to the Super Bowl the first year. The second year. Man, you know, Shanahan just was doing his thing with
Debo. I would say more so in the second year the defense took him. The first year,
Jimmy, they played with Kansas City? The year they played Kansas City in the Super Bowl, their defensive line couldn't be blocked.
Well, I mean, it couldn't be blocked last year either. That's what I'm saying.
But it wasn't Jimmy G.
But I think Jimmy was better offensively the first time.
I think Kyler Murray is a better offensive talent. He's younger. He's going to get better. Yeah. We can't be impatient. He's only in year four.
Yeah. But this is my thing.
He's
going to
get better if he can physically hold up. Because what I don't like about these scrambling athletic quarterbacks is at some point you're going to get Randall Cunningham. And you go
got banged up last year.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a small dude. So you know it's coming. Just like with Lamar, you know it's coming.
Yeah.
Now, can you become a pocket quarterback? And
I think he actually can, though.
I think he can too. Yeah. I think Kyler can. I'm not sure if Lamar can.
Exactly. This has always been my issue with Kyler Murray. You hear about the maturity things and his body language. Again, body language is body language. We know about this, B-Flow. Like, you don't want your, you know, the leader of your team out there with bad body language out there, you know, interception. Like, how fast can you let go of a play and move on? That's what I want to see.
I mean, he already showed you not mature with all this Instagram stuff.
This is my thing, right? We always talk about teams not doing enough for a quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like the Arizona Cardinals have done everything to make sure he has success, right? He doesn't just have two good receivers. He literally legitimately has like three or four. If you're talking about who they took Randale Moore high in the draft, right? They brought AJ Green back, traded for Hollywood Brown, got Nuke there, brought Zach Ertz back, took a good tight end, I believe, in the second or third round this year. They've done everything possible to put weapons around Kyler Murray so he has no excuses, and yet he still has not got them over the hump in the playoffs. Now, granted, he's only going into year four this year. That's why I'm a little hesitant, B-Flo. But to your point, I would pay him earlier than later, because if he does go out there and ball, the price tag is going up.
Listen, we can't just talk like he got the best roster in the NFC, right? Because there's a lot of rosters that's better than Arizona. You can't just say they gave him everything and he should just run through it. Like,
for offensive weapons, would you?
His division alone is
it's good, but I'm saying for offensive weapons, if you look at it, would you take the Cardinals' offensive weapons or Green Bay's offensive weapons?
We got to factor in Hopkins' suspension.
But he's going to be there. You have to put him in there.
He wasn't there the past year.
He was hurt. But I'm just saying, whose weapons would you take?
I take Devontae Adams.
He's not there. Remember, he's in the Rangers.
He's talking about this year. So you got to see him play this year. You have to see what he does this year.
I got what you're saying.
Because before, he played solid, but the NFC is so tough.
Would you take the 49ers' offensive weapons over Cardinals?
Hell no.
That's what I'm saying.
Hell no.
But that's what he's got the weapons, so it's on him now.
But Shanahan is also a better play caller than Kingsbury, too. So it's just not on.
And
I feel like he doesn't have a backup veteran quarterback to say, hey, this is how you're perfect.
Colt McCoy?
Cole McCord is not that old head where it's going to say, hey, like, this is how you break everything down. 12, 13, eh? I'm talking about like a McCown. Somebody go teach him. Like, you know, like, I know the game. Hey, don't worry about that. You
Cole came in and won when he got hurt last year, though. Did come in and win when he got hurt.
I think he needs somebody that's going to really, like, sit him down and show him how to mature.
Like a Fitz.
Think about all those quarterbacks need that player. Now, unfortunately, not many of them have it. But then how are we certain Kyler Murray's receptive to it? Because he probably looking at it. Colt McCoy does play his style. So, yeah. you can sit there and say, mm-hmm. like, hey, he knows what I'm talking about because we play a similar style. Yeah. So,
it's interesting. We'll see what happens. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lee J.
Deuce. I'm not paying him.
With my teammates, Omar Kelly and Brandon Flowers. I would give it one more year. I'd give it one more year.
So what are the mechanisms? Yes, you're going to be angry. Yes, you're going to be pissed. Yes, you're going to hold out. But the fifth year
hold out.
Here's the thing. He wants a deal in his fourth year. And he can truly threaten them because he could pick up and go play baseball. I think he does hold a lot of leverage because the minute he says, all right, you don't want to give me a deal? I'm going
to
play baseball.
I'm just saying most players that have tried to do that after year three, it just hasn't panned out well.
The thing is, everybody uses their leverage. If you don't play well, the GM go use their leverage. He has the leverage. Because if he say, I don't want to play this year, Kingsbury, I'm out of there. Like, they only went like four games. He's out of there. So he has all the leverage.
I say I wouldn't give him a deal, but then I thought about his baseball threat, which is a legitimate threat.
He's a first round pick.
He is a legitimate actual baseball player.
Yeah.
And so I think I do have to give him
the
money.
And let's take baseball a lot of it. We are seeing franchise quarterbacks and high profile guys on teams demanding trades and are getting them trades. So 100%. Even if he still wants to play football and go somewhere else,
he can ask for a trade.
It's on the table. You just see how the NFL is unfolding.
So we just caving to quarterbacks now.
It's been like that.
Quarterback? We're talking about Jamal Adams forced his way out of the safety position. It ain't just quarterback. Like Micah Fitzpatrick forced his way out of the safety position. It ain't just quarterbacks.
If you got leverage, use it.
Use it. This next story is very interesting. Bruce Smith, who is one of the greatest defensive linemen of all time, I believe leads the NFL in sacks in NFL history, is not happy with Tony Boselli's Hall of Fame selection. We're going to bring in our producer, Anthony, with the story to this.
Before we get to Bruce Smith, which real quick, because it is an interesting story, I do want to mention something of what Omar Kelly just said about Kyler Murray playing baseball. Mm. The team that owns Kyler Murray's baseball rights is the Oakland A's, who are the worst team in Major League Baseball, and they are going to be the worst team for the foreseeable future. I don't think Kyler Murray is going to threaten.
Even go play for them?
Hey.
It depends on how much that paper is.
Like Arizona was winning before he got there.
That's true.
They had the number one pick for a reason, huh?
All right, but yeah, I just want to throw that out there, that the Oakland A's own his rights, which is interesting. All right, so on to Bruce Smith. So Bruce Smith, Pro Hall of Famer, defensive end, when questioned about Tony Boselli's supporters who are using Boselli's performance against Smith in the 1996 AFC wildcard game as one of the key reasons for Boselli should get into the Hall of Fame. Bruce Smith took to Instagram, of all things, like Bruce Smith is on Instagram.
Shocked he's on Instagram. I'll be honest with you.
I did not know Bruce was on Instagram.
He put like a 5 to 6 page carousel of quotes. I'm only going to read the first one because I think it encapsulates everything he's trying to say. On one hand, I'm quite flattered to be considered the gold standard by which another player's game can be measured to determine the qualifications into the Hall of Fame. But on a more serious level, I and other Hall of Famers believe it sets a horrible precedent to negatively zero in on a standing member of the Hall of Fame's play in order to validate the candidacy of a nominee. According to Smith, who was also inducted to the Hall of Fame in 2009, the inclusion of Boselli compromises the Hall of Fame's legitimacy, which he calls it an exclusive fraternity. Mm. This is something, guys. Boselli, we know, did not have a lengthy NFL career. Does Bruce Smith have a valid argument here?
Hell yeah, he got a valid argument. I got nothing against Tony Boselli, but again, you just stated it, Anthony, right? He didn't have a long career. It says 7 years, but in his seventh year, I believe he only played 3 games. So he really only played 6 years. And I believe out of the six, about four of those were actually really dominant. So I get it, right? Because, you know, the Hall of Fame, and be focused to speak this, that's supposed to be a different airspace, right? I mean, those are the top of the top, the best that have ever done it, right? So there has to be a precedent set on who you're allowing into the Hall of Fame. So I get what Bruce Smith is saying. I think a lot of people, when Tony Boselli got in, this was a big discussion when he first was announced, because a lot of players felt like he didn't have the career as far as the length of career to actually be, you know, to be able to get into the Hall of Fame because he played so short of a career.
And the thing about that is he didn't dominate all those
years. That's what I said. So it was like four of the six he kind of dominated. It wasn't like he dominated all 6 years.
So, yeah. So Bruce, he has the right to, you know,
if anybody has the right, it's Bruce Smith.
Exactly. He has the accolades. He has the rights to definitely speak on this, but I understand exactly where he's coming from. And like you said, that's supposed to be a different airspace. It's just a little bit different in basketball. In basketball, I kind of feel like if you're a good player in basketball, you'll make the Hall of Fame.
I mean, a lot of good players have, not great players. I mean, we talked about this all the time. Ben Wallace, I think, is in the Hall of Fame, and Antoine Walker said he didn't believe he should be in there.
He was one of the best defensive players of that era.
Okay, I said the same thing. Antoine Walker would be crazy.
But it's more players that made that Hall of Fame that you was like, he was a good player, but he wasn't.
I think Yao Ming made it in there, right?
I think that's for because they're a basketball. Well, this is a football Hall of Fame. So,
I think Antoine also said, like, I think your college career has something to do with Hall of Fame in basketball, which I thought was weird. It's a professional. That has nothing to do with college. But
I agree with Bruce when it's like, no, it's supposed to be a different airspace. Yeah, 100%. Right?
Top of the top,
if you only played that amount of years, you'd had a Barry Sanders that thing where it's like, you got to get in here because of the body of
Calvin
work
Johnson, like, yo, your body of work has to be ridiculous.
He played a total of 7 years and really on the field for only six of those years. I personally believe that the Hall of Fame class of 2022 is the weakest Hall of Fame class of this decade.
It's all bad to him.
Maybe. I mean, think about it. When Dick Vermeil is probably the most accomplished person inducted into your Hall of Fame class, and this is a guy who retired from the league from coaching for like a decade, if not two.
Yeah.
Richard Seymour, Cliff Branch, Leroy Butler. And I like Leroy Butler.
Leroy's a good one.
Yeah, but Sam Mills over Zach Thomas, that's a personal thing for me.
Yeah. I'm still surprised Zach hasn't got in.
Don't start. Don't make me start.
Don't let you start.
Don't make me start. Bryant Young, like these are all, it felt like this last Hall of Fame class were guys that had been waiting for
have been waiting forever.
Yeah. Waiting forever. All right. You know when you in the when you try you stand in line, y'all never had to stand in line in the club for but the bouncer, you know, if you done stood in line for 45 minutes.
All right, come on.
Come on in.
Come on in.
Exactly. You done made us look hot. Like, then you made the line.
Come on into the boom boom room. You know what I'm saying?
So that's what these guys have been standing at the door for 45 minutes.
You're right. They've been there for a while.
But it was a very thoroughly disappointing class.
Yeah. Well,
I would have rather, I'm not a big Devin Hester guy, but I don't think he should have been a first ballot, but put Devin Hester in. Put a Reggie Wayne in.
Yeah.
You put Zach Thomas in.
Yeah.
You could have put so much. DeMarcus Ware didn't even make the finalist list.
Jared Allen.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
He's been waiting for a while. He's
probably, it's only been like 2 years, I think. Yeah, but still, he deserves it.
The first ballot.
First ballot is a generational player.
It's hard
Devin
to put Hester,
a definitely a generational player.
He's a generational player without a position.
It doesn't matter. He redefined his position. It was just
him and Steve Tasker will be going next year.
He could not be a first ballot.
Oh my God.
I'm absolutely fine.
Changed the way we view the game. We never cared about special teams as a fan. You never looked at the game and cared about special teams.
Everybody tuned in when he was back
there. You literally sitting at the edge of your seat, and he performed at the biggest moments, even in the Super Bowl. It's like, all right, it's the first kickoff. Yeah. And then when you take that back, it's like, yo.
Covered him his whole career.
Quick question that I want quick answers to. Do you think that the NFL Hall of Fame should change up the way, you know, they vote on? Should ex-players be able to vote on who gets into the Hall of Fame?
I think they should keep it the way they are now because some players got their favorites, you know,
some media members too.
Yeah, man. We play a political game. That's a political game. Yeah. I see it and I know how the sausage is made. It needs to be changed. And people who aren't even covering the NFL and haven't covered the NFL for over a decade still control the votes. They don't know this generation of players. They haven't covered this generation of players. They're just, you know, this Hall of Fame vote is just their rite of passage.
Yeah.
And that's cool. That's cool. But I think the system needs to be revamped where Hall of Fame members are voting, media members are voting, and a select
group of
of coaches and executives.
That's what I'll say. Yeah. I'll say you, the players, yeah. How you said, the Hall of Fame players, and yeah. I like that.
Okay. Yeah, that was. I like that suggestion. Though. Maybe we could put that out there and they'll change things up. The Stanley Cup Final is on SiriusXM. Steven Stamkos and the Tampa Bay Lightning take on Nathaniel McKinnon and the Colorado Avalanche with game one tonight at 8 Eastern. Before they drop the puck, get the best analysis and opinion on NHL Network Radio, Channel 91, and you can listen to the hometown announcers on the SXM app. Richard Sherman is heading to the studio to be an analyst for Amazon Prime's Thursday night football games, but he leaves the door open for a return to the field. We talk about that next on I Am Athlete Tonight here on Mad Dog Sports Radio.
Hear in-depth analysis of the NBA Finals with Danny Green on Inside the Green Room, a SiriusXM podcast.
Andrew Wiggins has changed the narrative about who he was. He's the second best player on the Warriors, and he might mess around and win Finals MVP.
If he has another great appearance, another great outing like that, I think I might pick him as MVP if Steph is off again. But it's not because of the offense, but his defense, more importantly than anything.
Inside the Green Room. Download it now on the SXM app or wherever you get your podcast.
Let's just get right into it. I want
to
give Auntie her flowers, right? Because that's what we do on this show. We give our teammates their flowers. Auntie called this Golden State Warriors win in 6 games. She called this from the beginning, so I'll give her credit. Yeah, go ahead and give her a round of applause.
Come on, round of applause.
She said the Warriors would win by +8. She was correct on that aspect as well. So, Auntie, I want to give you your flowers. And, you know, usually we do a whole bunch of different teases, but everybody in the sports world knows what we're talking about today, right? The Warriors are the 2022 NBA champions. Congrats to them. Congrats to Steph Curry, who was named the Bill Russell Finals MVP. He scored 34 points in a closeout game in game 6 last night, and he averaged over 31 points a game, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Now, the Warriors, man, they really decided, you could tell early in this game, that this game was not going back to San Francisco. And in the first half, they went on a 21-0 run in the first half, which is the longest run in the NBA Finals in the last 50 years. After the game, Steph Curry talked about what it took for the Warriors and himself to get back to this championship point.
This one hits different, for sure. Just knowing what the last 3 years have meant, what it's been like, from injuries to, you know, changing of the guard and the rosters, Wiggs coming through, our young guys carrying the belief that we could get back to the stage and win, even if it didn't make sense to anybody when we said it.
So I want to bring in our teammate, Auntie Chantel. Auntie.
My mom.
What is the biggest reason the Warriors are NBA champions this season?
Steph Curry. adaptability. You know, I think that they were just able to count on, like, everyone, and consistency when it mattered, right? October and November doesn't matter in the NBA. And Wiggins just came through and just balled out. Draymond had probably his best game of the series, just in everything he does, right? The intangibles. And then Steph, you know, I was 6 points away from talking so much trash to you last night. Now, I said he would have 40, but
you did.
He just, you know, there was no way, like I said yesterday, there's no way that Boston could have felt comfortable getting beat by 10 and Steph didn't make a single 3. And so you knew he was going to do something. And then, you know, we'll get on your boy Tatum in a minute. I don't know where.
Yeah, we're going to talk about him later. That. Don't you worry.
But yeah, that's why they're here. And I'm so happy for Steph and you know, Aisha now, you know, now she's going to be a good cook now, I guess. They trash. But, you know, I'm excited for them and it's well-deserved. And it was a great series.
Yeah, B-Flow, what do you think was the biggest reason for the Warriors to be for them to win why they won the championship this year?
I honestly just think they have the best team. Right. They so deep. Mm-hmm. They can go 9 and 10 deep if they want. Yeah. But Steve Kerr, they also have one of the best, if not the best, head coach in basketball right now. And Steve Kerr, because 100%. Everybody likes to look at the Warriors and say, hey, they got a squad who can't make that work. But it's hard when you got all these players and they have a great foundation where it's like anybody that comes to the Warriors, they fit.
100%.
Right? It's not like, hey, his game don't fit what we do. It's just like they make it fit. So you got to give credit to the head coach. So when you have a great team, a great head coach, and everybody that buy in, they're almost even on a different page than the Patriots, because the Patriots have a lot of guys that don't have that much talent, but just buy in into what's going on, and they go and win. Like, you know, when you go to the Patriots, you know, I'm not going to get paid that much. I'm going to win the games. Yeah.
Right.
The Golden State Warriors, they have that, but they actually have good talent, players and they draft well. That's another good thing. That's another thing about them. They draft well. Yeah. So it feels like this dynasty is going to be around for a while, and they know their personnel. Whatever small forward comes into their rotation, like from Iggy, when he was there, he was very important. KD just came and did his thing. And now Wiggins, it's just like,
man,
that position is so crucial. And it always seems like they have that perfect piece, you know, to fit with Steph and Clay out there and just to make this engine go. So I think this is a collective job, you know, with the players, the front office, Steve Kerr. I just think they have the best organization right now, and they're just going to keep piling on rings, you know, in these next couple of years.
I would say they won this championship, and just talking finals only, because 100% Steph Curry refused to lose this finals. We've been talking about it, and we as player, you know this, B-Flow, you know this, Auntie Chantel, we could say we don't look at the news clippings. But we do. We hear other analysts talking. So he definitely had the weight of that on his back. And you could tell because he was playing like it. Like, you know, these people said, you know, I ain't one of the best ever. Like, I got to go out here and win this finals MVP and then also win the NBA championship to solidify myself, even though I will always be solidified as the greatest shooter to ever have played this game. But people are still saying I don't affect the game on the other end of the court. Well, you know what? I'm going to go out here and show you, because Steph actually played some really good defense last night. I believe I read a stat. Guys that were 3 of 12 on him when he was the main defender last night. So he was playing really good defense. So I would say for the finals alone, Steph Curry. He refused to lose that finals. But as a whole team, to your point, you made a great point, B-Flo. Like, that small forward position, Andrew Wiggins was dynamite. Not only in the postseason, but during the regular season. Yeah. People forget he was selected as a starter on the All-Star team for the Western Conference this year. So he's going to get a bag. I know there's video of him and Jordan Poole talking to each other saying, hey, we're going to get a bag. Yeah. We're going to get a bag this offseason. I think, you know, Wiggins becomes free after next season. If I was the Warriors, I'd try to get him some cash now, man, because, again, if you want to sustain success, it seems like he just fits perfectly in with this group. And another point you made, Steve Kerr, man, and we're going to talk about him later. I mean, what he's been able to do with his big three, you know, Draymond, Clay, and Steph getting older, he's been able to bring in some younger guys. You got Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole. We haven't even talked about Wiseman and Kuminga. Those guys are going to be really good for them in the future. And they just keep on trucking. And the way Steve Kerr is coaching, he could potentially be on his way to being one of the, or if not the best coach to ever coach the game. So I want to ask you two this question, because we've had this discussion before. Did Steph Curry break into the top 10 in the NBA all time after his finals performance?
He was top 10 yesterday.
Mm. So you already had him in there, Auntie.
Yeah, but remember Brandon, like, you know, B. Marsh, he be slipping out of I Am Athlete, like, when it's convenient for him, right? Trash, and now he don't want to show up. I talked to him earlier. He's like, I might pop in. I was like, you ain't popping into that shit. You're not popping in because you was wrong, period. But you know, I think you can't be the best shooter of all time and not be in the top 10. And you know, like you said, like, he played defense yesterday, and I just saw a different Steph. I like Steph with a little, you know, a little trash talk. I like petty Steph. I like petty Steph. And you know, when he pointed at his finger the one time about the ring, and then he did one where he told the crowd good night, like,
sleep,
in Boston, like, that showed a little swag from Steph, and so I like that, and so I'm putting him in top 10. What you think, B Flo?
So, Auntie, I want to ask you this before I go. Is he in your top 5?
Ooh.
No.
I need to know your top 5 then, if he's not in your top 5.
Hold on, B Flo, you got to be your top 5?
He's
on the cusp.
He's 5-ish. For me, he's 5-ish, right? But I want to hear.
Auntie, what's your top 5 then?
I think he's 6th man of the year. But Bron, because you know he's my favorite. LeBron, you gotta have MJ. Right? You gotta have Kobe.
See, Beefo said his argument there.
I'm going back. I'm going way.
Kobe got five though, bro. Two without Shaq.
You gotta have. Wait a minute now, Shaq. And can you imagine
Magic Johnson at all?
Can you imagine having Shaq and Wilt in the paint?
Yeah.
That's my top five.
Yeah. So for me, of course, you got LeBron, you got MJ. For me, you definitely have to throw in. See, for me, I'm a Magic guy. Like the way he was Showtime. He ran that team. I like Magic in my top five. And see, these last two is so hard for me because Kareem was lethal. Shaq was dominant.
Bill Russell,
like he was unstoppable.
And but, then you got Wilt too. You throw
and,
in there.
And Kobe is who he is.
Wait, but time out, Brandon. You ain't give me the five. You gave me three in like 19.
I gave you three. My four will be Shaq, and my fifth, I think Steph surpassed Kobe with me on this one. On this ring right here. Kobe does have one more ring.
But anyone two without Shaq.
He won two without Shaq.
Right.
But just as a player, the way Steph changed the game, and his story not even done been written yet. So I'll take that back. He's not top five right now.
But you got him.
I don't know. I got him tied with Kobe. I have him tied with Kobe.
So he's definitely your top 10. You got him. Yeah,
for sure. Because the way he changed the game and the way he seemed like he's not slowing down, man. It's just, and that's why I got him five-ish right now. But he's definitely in my top 10.
I understand what you're saying, but I can't compare him to Kobe because at the end of the day, and you're right, you said a great point. You know, his career is not over yet. So he still has time. But I still look at, he still didn't show up at game five, right? There were still quarters where Steph didn't show up. When you look at them finals that Kobe's played in, like Kobe showed up every night,
But Auntie, he had to show up because he didn't have the help that Steph had, right? So the ball had to go through Kobe the whole game when he was like, I'm talking about without Shaq. Shaq. Yeah. And he ran passing the ball to Shaq anyway.
Yeah.
So that's why Kobe reminds so many people of MJ because MJ wasn't passing the ball either. So it was a different type of game you was looking at where it's like, hey, this is the show. He's kind of going iso ball back then.
Yeah.
He won without Shaq, right?
Mm-hmm.
And can you name some other players on them team? Like, it, you know, like just like this, right?
Al Gasol was nice.
They don't, but look, the Warriors don't win last night and they don't win this series without Wiggins. Like, period. Like, they don't win without Wiggins. They don't win without the dog of Draymond Green. You take Draymond Green and Wiggins off that team, you're right. Steph would have had to show up. And he still had to show up. He still needed 34.
He
still needed to average 30 for them to
win
the series. But yeah, I have him coming off the bench, but I don't know, B-Flout. I don't know if I can say he tied with Kobe right yet, but we're gonna see. He got a couple more years.
I mean, I think to me it's definitely a conversation top 10, no matter, like, I know Antoine Walker feels like no matter what he did, he still wasn't in the top 10. I'm like, how can he not at least be a conversation? 10? Conversation, because I mean, you know, we were putting our list out there, and the question, I think, question mark was Larry Bird. Like, do you put him in front of Larry Bird, or do you put Steph in front of Larry Bird? He surpassed Larry Bird now in championship. I believe Larry Bird had three. Steph now has four. So to me, I think it's an open conversation. And to Antoine's point, right, Steph self-scouted himself. He got in the gym. He's a little bit more bigger, so he was able to defend a lot better during these finals, and we saw that last night. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lijay Duisable, with my teammates, Brandon Flowers and Auntie Chantel, and we're talking about the 2022 NBA champions, the Golden State Warriors, and Steph Curry winning the MVP of the finals last night. And Curry spoke after the game about why this championship just felt different than the previous three championships.
This one hits different for sure. Just knowing what the last 3 years have meant, what it's been like from injuries to, you know, changing of the guard and the rosters, Wiggs coming through, our young guys carrying the belief that we could get back to the stage and win, even if it didn't make sense to anybody when we said it.
Now, Auntie Chantel, was this the most impressive championship from the Golden State Warriors?
I think so. I think that they did go through a lot, and Steph, you know, he was trying to be nice, but he said he was throwing some shade, and we did this shit without KD. We did this when everybody was hurt. Like, I love it. I think the petty Steph was in there somewhere, but you know, I just think what they had to do, you know, I'm not sure that they have the most talented team. I do think that Steve Kerr is one of the best coaches, but I think roster wise from 1 to 12 or whatever, they're not the most talented team, but I think that makes the win that much more impressive. It makes what they did. And, you know, you said it many times, dudes, you know, the Celtics were in this position. They're going to come back and they're playing so well and they wanted this so bad. And to go through everything that they went through, and Boston was a hard fought series. And so, you know, you got to put this up there, but look, the latest one is always the best one.
Yeah, what do you think? You think this is the most impressive championship for the Golden State Warriors?
For sure, because like Auntie was saying, like when they put their lineup on paper, you don't automatically say, all right, these are the guys that's going to blow everything off the floor, because, you know, Looney came along this year and did his thing. They drafted Wiseman for a reason, because they probably didn't feel Looney was going to be what he panned out to be.
And he's going to be a free agent, so somebody going to pay him.
Yeah, you know, Steph coming off injury. So you don't know what Steph is going to give you. It was so much uncertainty. Wiggins, you don't know how he's going to fit in.
Exactly.
Like, so when the ball was tipped off, they played so well, they meshed so well. So you tend to forget about that, but a lot of people had to step up and play their role. 100%. You know, that was so impressive. You know, even when Poole come in and want to do his thing, and you got to calm him down sometime, but it's just like, hey, the role you played this year, like, we needed that.
That was massive.
You didn't give us that last year. Like, we needed that this year. Like, everything that they got from every player, they actually needed that to get them over the top this year. So that's why it was definitely so much special. You know, as an athlete, when things get taken away from you, that's what you want more than anything, right? So when you're going through the season and you don't get hurt at all and you play 3-4 seasons straight, you can kind of take the next game for granted, right?
Yeah.
But when you miss 8 weeks or a whole season due to like the ACL and you just got to sit down and watch, you start to miss practice.
100%.
You start missing how them wins felt in the locker room, the victory speeches, everybody hugging after the game. Like, they missed that.
Yeah.
And they heard everybody, like you said, talking and telling them like, y'all not gonna come back.
Yeah,
you know, so just to prove everybody wrong, everybody stepped up. Like, they feel invincible right now. Like you say, they gotta pay Wiggins, but I think they feel like, yo, we can draft somebody and we still gonna be that.
He was so pivotal.
They're gonna have to keep Wiggins, though.
They gotta keep Wiggins, especially with Steph and them getting older. Wiggins is young.
But I feel like Iggy did the same thing. And when Iggy left, it was just like,
He wasn't scoring as many points.
He wasn't scoring as many points. But I honestly got faith in Golden State and what they do there.
Steve Kerr, 100%. To me, definitely, this is the most impressive one. To your point, right, you talked about the injuries, not only to Steph Curry, but to Klay Thompson, right? Being away from the game for 2+ years, you know, he wasn't his normal self. You know, before, you could always almost count on Klay and Steph getting 20 no matter what. But you couldn't count on that this year from Klay. So now you're talking about continuity, bringing Andrew Wiggins in and him dropping 18 to 20 every single game. Jordan Poole, automatic offense off the bench. And when Steph was hurt, shoot, sometimes Jordan Poole was dropping 30. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, they really have a next man up mentality. I mean, Gary Payton II played a pivotal role on defense. And then sometimes when they needed 15 from him, he would deliver. So like, even Draymond falling off and getting older, where he's close to averaging close to a triple double, and he did that last night. He hadn't really done that all during the playoffs, and he showed up last night. So in terms of NBA dynasties, where do you rank the Warriors? Because you look at it as a whole, right? They've been to the finals 6 out of the last 8 years. They've won 4 out of the last 8. Auntie Chantel, where do you rank this Warriors dynasty?
You know, I know I'm going to get some backlash, but I don't know if they're a dynasty yet. Like,
you're the second person I've heard that, but how can you not be a dynasty when you've been to the finals 6 out of the last 8 and you've won 4 out of the last 8?
Right. You're right. You know, I just
I don't know. Maybe because
it wasn't back to back to back. I mean, they won two in a row, right? And then they missed a year, then won another one.
Right. But you know what? Like, when you think of dynasties, you know, them Laker team, the Celtics team, the Bulls team.
Bulls, yeah.
So was the, second Lakers team technically a dynasty with Pau Gasol and Kobe?
Nah.
I mean, but then again, it was what about Anthony? It was about like 7 or 8 years between the time they won that championship.
But I think that maybe it's just because like Golden State isn't like that pretty dynasty team. Like, you know, you can't do a 30-for-30 on the Golden State Warriors right now. Like, yeah. I don't think so. When you can do a 30-for-30 on, then it become a dynasty. We'll see.
What do you think, Bfoe?
I think they're a dynasty. It's just a different type of dynasty, right? Yeah. So when you think of the Bulls and you think of those guys, they was tough. You had Rodman diving for rebounds, MJ talking his talk and backing you down, and Pippen playing great defense. Like, everybody had a staple and they was tough. These guys just run around, shoot the ball, and they make it look easy. So it's not appealing to the eye that it's hard to win these games the way they are winning them, but they are winning. So I think it depends on what you call a dynasty. Yeah, you know,
I think it's a dynasty. I mean, again, you went to 6 out of the last 8 and you didn't just go, right? You won half of them. So 4 out of the last 8, like, to me, that's a dynasty.
So I asked that question real quick because LeBron been to 8 straight finals. So
before the Lakers won the championship, he had only won what, one of those? He went to 8 straight, but only won one.
Yeah. But
so I proposed this question to our producer Anthony when I talked to him earlier. You remember those Buffalo Bills teams in the 90s, they went to the championship game every year, but they would lose. So are they considered?
They can't be a dynasty.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So LeBron's teams can't be a dynasty. For one, it was two different teams, right? And then he won two, and then he was off and missed a couple, and he went 8 straight years, but they only ended up winning, I think, what, 3 out of 8, maybe? So who knows?
Want more I Am Athlete tonight? This your boy B. Marshall. If so, you can get a new episode every night by subscribing to the main I Am Athlete Tonight podcast feed. We're on Mad Dog Sports Radio every weeknight, 7 to 9 Eastern. However, if you can't catch us live or you just want to hear the show again, you can always catch us on Apple or Stitcher or however you get your podcasts. I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.